Welcome to SportsBeat KC, the Kansas City Star's daily sports podcast. It's Friday, October 9th, and I'm Blair Kirchhoff. It's a college football weekend, and we talk to the beat writers, starting with Kellis Robinette, who covers Kansas State. The Wildcats play at TCU and are in high spirits with a 2-0 start in Big 12 play. The health and status of starting quarterback Skylar Thompson is unknown, but freshman Will Howard looked good in last weekend's victory over Texas Tech. And another freshman, running back Deuce Vaughn, is proven to be one of the nation's most dynamic players. Quarterback is also in the news at Missouri, where Connor Bazelak gets the starting nod for the first time this season against LSU. Beat writer Suichi Tirada takes us through the decision to start Bazelak over Sean Robinson and the impact of Saturday's game moving from Baton Rouge to Columbia because of the weather in the Gulf. Finally, we talk Kansas with Gary Bedore. The Jayhawks are off to an 0-2 league start and don't play this weekend. They got some bad news on the recruiting trail this week, and Gary tells us about that. So let's get going, talking college football weekend with Kellis Robinette. Kellis Robinette covers Kansas State for the Star, but you already knew that. We've talked to Kellis so many times. Kellis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Blair?
Doing all right. Running down COVID news today, so that's gives away a little bit of a hint. We're recording this on Wednesday, a few days after Kansas State's really nice 31-21 victory over Texas Tech, and a few days before the Wildcats go to Fort Worth to play TCU. And Kellis, it was there were things good and bad about the Cats' win over the Red Raiders. The good is, of course, the win. They overcame a deficit in the fourth quarter, but they did lose Skylar Thompson in that game. Skylar, who played so well against Oklahoma the week before that, but Will Howard showed up and played great, the freshman quarterback. So let's start with where it stands with the quarterback situation right now.
Yeah, still a little bit up in the air. Kansas State fans obviously were a little worried when Skylar Thompson had to leave that game and came back out to the sideline for the second half and watched with his right arm in a sling. That's never a good sign for your quarterback. Somewhat surprisingly, Chris Klieman has said that he, tests have checked out fairly well on him. They were hoping that he could get some reps in this week and maybe even play this weekend against TCU. Personally, I think that's a little optimistic, especially when you look at the schedule and realize that they've got a week off coming up right after this, and then they play Kansas at home. If you want to be smart with him, you could, very easily just say, sit this one out. We'll try to win it with Will Howard and have you back at full health later on in the season. I think that's probably the route they go, but you know what? At the same time, if Skylar is a quick healer and he's ready to go, there's no reason to hold him out. So I think there's still some uncertainty there. That might be a game time decision. I guess we'll just see. But I guess the good thing about last week is that Will Howard proved he can win a game for the Wildcats, even if he necessarily wasn't the guy making all the plays. Kansas State feels comfortable with both quarterbacks.
Yeah, it sounds like Will Howard has the confidence of the coaching staff for sure. And really, it was a confidence boosting game for him being able to. He was the quarterback who he was in the game when the Wildcats lost the lead, but he was also the guy that he gets the save, if not being the winning pitcher. Depends on how the scorer wants to judge this one, but I thought he did a good job. And look, this Kansas State team has an emerging star in running back Deuce Vaughn. So with you can create a game plan to. To emphasize Vaughn or others, and I trust this coaching staff to script up something that would take advantage of what Will Howard's doing and what he can do. Listen, you're right. Skylar Thompson's a veteran, a leader, a winner, all of that. Big game guy, and this is a big game coming up for the first place Wildcats, but. I don't know if they should go to Fort Worth if Skylar Thompson's not playing, thinking that they're at a big disadvantage.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see the odds makers put it at 10 points, an advantage for TCU, just because presumably they think Will Howard is going to play. I don't think that there's just an enormous drop-off between those two players. He would obviously rather have Skylar, and he was playing quite well before he got injured in that game, so it's certainly not like they're looking to turn the page here or anything. But Will Howard is very capable. I think one thing that sets up well for him right now is that Kansas State's offense this season really hasn't been wide receiver driven. Other than Sebastian Taylor, nobody's really stepped up there. They haven't thrown a ton of passes out wide on the perimeter that you need a big arm to do. Most of their biggest plays have all been hitch routes to Deuce Vaughn, finding Briley Moore, their new tight end, across the middle. Those were the two plays that really saved him against Texas Tech. He comes up with a 60-plus yard gain to a tight end, 70-yard touchdown pass to Vaughn, and he didn't really throw the ball more than 10 or 15 yards across the middle on either play. So if they can keep figuring out ways to allow him to, you know, pepper that side part of the field where he doesn't have to throw like fade routes to the opposite hash and stuff like that, I think they'll be okay offensively.
Okay. And look, TCU's had a nice start to their season. You know, there's a reason why they're the favorite, as you mentioned, the you know, the Horned Frogs coming off the victory over Texas, which has been, you know, not uncommon for the Gary Patterson coach team. What is it, 7-2 against the Longhorns as members of the Big 12? So quite an accomplishment for TCU. They lost to Iowa State the previous week, but came back and won at Austin. So look, that's they've been pretty good competitive games when Kansas State and Texas Tech or TCU have gotten together over the years. So should be a good one at Fort Worth, no matter who the quarterback is for Kansas State. One thing we know is Chris Klieman will enter that game with a new contract, or at least have agreed to a new contract. And I was it was interesting when that news broke, Kellis, just because with all the financial troubles that colleges are having in the pandemic, that Kansas State would take this time to announce the contract, the new contract. So what do you think was behind that, the timing of it? And then we can go into the details here in a moment.
Yeah, the optics are definitely strange to announce that you're bumping up your football coach's salary from $2.5 million to ultimately $4.3 million a year during a pandemic in which he currently is taking a pay cut. He's, I believe it's 20%. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but he is taking a pay cut this season. Many other Kansas State staffers are doing the same. They've had some layoffs. So it's definitely difficult for some to understand where this money is coming from. But basically what it comes down to is that during the offseason, before all this pandemic stuff hit, Gene Taylor was very happy with the direction of the football team. They'd won 8 games. They went to the Liberty Bowl. And he told Chris Klieman that he wanted to, you know, do everything that he could to make sure that he was comfortable and that his assistant coaching staff was comfortable here. So he spent a few months giving all of his assistants small raises. He also then began discussing a new contract with Chris Klieman. And it was, you know, there was no rush to do it, to finalize it, just because he made it clear he wasn't going to go anywhere. He was in it here for the long haul. So, you know, we'll just sit back and go slow about it. And I guess once they finally did agree on some numbers or whatever, that's when the pandemic did hit. They didn't know if there's going to be football this season or whatever. So they said, let's wait. And I guess now that they are playing and they're coming off a big win against Oklahoma, they figured why not go ahead and announce it now. So that's what they did. I suppose the good thing about it is that his salary this year is the same. It's unchanged. None of the pay raises or anything go into next year, when hopefully everybody's a little bit more on solid footing financially. And then his contract is more backloaded than front-loaded. He doesn't reach $4 million or plus until later on until the deal.
Right. I'll read from your story. Under the new deal, Klieman will make $3.1 million in 2021. Salary will increase to $3.5 million in 2022 and then $4 million in 2023 and stabilize at $4.3 million throughout the final 3 years of the deal. In no way am I suggesting he's undeserving. He absolutely is deserving of a raise and the optics of security here, or at least the perception of security, that Kansas State is doing everything it can to keep a coach who has the program on the right going in the right direction. But I'll kind of emphasize what you said, Kellis, that at this time, I'm not sure it needed to be announced right now. look, it was agreed upon and it's a done deal. And if some reporter or citizen even wanted to find out the particulars of the Kansas State football coach contract, they could have done so with just an open records request. So I guess give credit to Kansas State for putting it out there, that for announcing the contract, the new deal. I don't know of another school that's done this since the beginning of the football season. So it is different. It is unusual. And fortunately, I think for Chris Klieman and for Kansas State, when we talk about perception, that they're off to a good start in the Big 12, tied for first with Iowa State and Oklahoma State. People are feeling very, very good about the program. And so I think that plays into it. If K-State had gotten off to, you know, an 0-3 or 1-2 start, it may just seem a little different.
Yeah, and you know, it's a little bit of a gamble just because they do tie a lot of guaranteed money into Chris Klieman. Like if I'm not suggesting this will happen, but if he had a series of bad luck and they started losing a lot of games, in 2 years they decided they wanted to move on and try to find a new coach, it would cost him around $17 million. And that's not something that right now Kansas State can afford to do. Now, obviously, that's not the way they're thinking. Just based on what he's done so far, it looks like he's going to have this team going to bowl games regularly. They're going to want him around. And more than anything, I think just that even though maybe he wasn't like in the mix for any other jobs last year, I can say that some schools did reach out and at least say, hey, would he consider, you know, talking to us about this or that opportunity? And when you look around, you know, he's from Iowa. Maybe down the line, something happens with the Hawkeyes and they look to bring in a new coach. All of a sudden, it's quite a bit harder to come out and do that with a higher buyout and everything and this new contract to Kansas State. So it sends a message of stability. It sends a message that they really like the trajectory of the program right now. And there is some risk involved with it, but at the same time, if they can afford it and he keeps on winning, it'll end up being a good thing for him.
Heck, 2-0 against Oklahoma makes it a pretty good deal to me. So
for sure. Yeah. No, I will say Ron Prince was 2-0 against Texas once.
Yeah, he was. Absolutely, he was. And we know how that ended. So, all right, Kellis, great catching up with you, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Blair.
Hey, it's Blair. We have a special subscription offer for SportsBeat KC listeners, unlimited digital access to the Kansas City Star's award-winning sports coverage. Sign up now for 1 year of Sports Pass for access to all the sports news, features, and columns presented on the KansasCity.com site, and it's only $30. That's a 40% savings off our regular rate. Your subscription will automatically renew after the initial term at $50 unless you tell us to cancel. Your subscription helps support the sports coverage of KansasCity.com and the Kansas City Star, and that support has never been more important. Please visit KansasCity.com/SportsBeatKCOffer to get this special offer. And as always, thanks for listening. Suichi Terada covers the Missouri Tigers for the Kansas City Star, and you've been busy just in the last couple days here, Suichi, keeping up with where Mizzou is going to play its next game. What's the verdict?
Yeah, so it seems like Mizzou will not be going to Tiger Stadium down in Baton Rouge. You're actually going to be playing at Faurot Field here in Columbia for Saturday's game. And the kickoff time was actually moved from 8 p.m. to 11 a.m., and Orgeron actually just spoke on the SEC teleconference call, and he said essentially, you know, with the travel, LC has to play 3 road games, like just recovery time, they wanted to bump that up. So we're going to see some Mizzou football against LSU for the first time ever at Faurot Field in SEC play. So I think that's kind of exciting in that regard.
Kind of amazing when you think about it. But the way the SEC schedules in a conference of 14 members and the way that they schedule each other, that do I have that right? Is it 14? Or, yeah, 14 members. How soon I forget that Missouri and Texas A&M were 13 and 14 in some order. But the scheduling matrix is such that the teams don't cross over that often. They don't see the crossover division teams that often. So you're right. It's first time that LSU will have played at Faurot Field as SEC members. And of course, all this is happening because of Hurricane Delta. It's not a COVID related thing. It's a weather related thing. I woke up the other day, or went to bed the other night, I should say this, like on Sunday or Monday night, and saw where there was another hurricane coming through that part of the country, but it was at the time just going to be a Category 2, and there was hope that it would, that would sort of die down once it hit landfall. Then I wake up the next morning, upgraded to a Category 4. You know, it's going to bring a foot of rain to several places in Louisiana and beyond, and that's why this is happening. So Missouri's going to be the beneficiary of some bad weather in the Gulf, and LSU coming to Columbia. And you mentioned it. It's not a small thing, especially for fans, to start the game at 11 a.m. being played at in the late morning rather than the early evening. Every fan has their own opinion about when they want games to start. I want them to start as early as possible. And I don't think you can start one earlier than 11 a.m. So what you said, Ed Ogeron was just on a conference call. What else did he have to say about coming to Mizzou?
Yeah, the thing, he didn't say too much, but the thing that I kind of took away was that the logistics still aren't really squared away. I mean, you have to realize, like, LSU has to get, a block of hotels. They got to figure out practice plan, flights, charter flights, all of these different things. So I believe he said that he doesn't really know if LSU is going to travel down Thursday or Friday still. They plan to have a walkthrough on Friday at like a conference center here in Columbia and stuff like that. So things are still moving around for LSU. I mean, it's funny, Blair, just because of the way college football scheduling works, of course, you schedule this out years in advance, and then we're seeing some flexibility now. And I think just with COVID and now you got a hurricane, it's just all these things that 2020 still brings around. But yeah, the thing is, Mizzou fans, if you were a season ticket holder or donor, you can purchase tickets, but that's until, I believe, tomorrow afternoon. There's a certain timeline. So if you want to come out to Faurot Field, you can more than do that. But things are kind of on the fly. I actually got a couple emails about just credentials for this weekend from LSU and Mizzou, respectively, being like, hey, if you're planning to be here Saturday, let us know ASAP so we can actually get this figured out, just because – luckily we're not on a Thursday or Friday schedule where it got changed, but on a Wednesday it does give some time, but it is it's kind of time to start boiling down and figuring out those logistics and everything. So it's a lot of moving pieces still, but luckily there will still be football played that is not affected by COVID, though I guess fingers crossed, just because with the nature of COVID we never really know when things just move or things change by the hour or the day.
Right. No, it's crazy. Absolutely. Look, I don't, I don't know exactly what to make of LSU. I don't know how the changing of venue is going to affect the game. I thought, look, if LSU's playing Missouri at home, the defending national champions, and even though the LSU Tigers tripped up in their first game by the Mike Leach Mississippi State Bulldogs, that still whatever the line was, I think it was 20 or so or 20 and a half, with LSU favored, would do. I guess I could buy that. I don't know what moving the game to Columbia will do to that, but it's still I think LSU will still come to Columbia as a prohibitive favorite in the game. But look, they have proven vulnerable this year, and we'll get into this in a moment too. Missouri's going to be going with a different quarterback, at least to start the game. So how does I know you're starting to get into breaking down the game. What are sort of early thoughts on Mizzou LSU as a contest?
Yeah, the betting line actually hasn't moved too much, I believe. It started at 19 and it kind of swelled to 20.5. Third straight game where Mizzou is a double-digit underdog. I believe it ended around 28 for Alabama and then around 13, I want to say, for Tennessee, maybe a little lower. That's three very difficult games in a row for Mizzou. And really, just because, LSU lost a lot of players, and we talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I guess, here at Kansas City a lot, just because he plays for the Chiefs and Joe Burrow with the Bengals. But, LSU is still a very talented team. I still think this is going to be kind of a game where they're going to be more talented just because of the nature of the game and the recruits and how it is in the SEC and where Mizzou stands for it. But I still think, you know, Mizzou might be able to kind of put up a dogfight, kind of like they did with Alabama, in the sense that they can move the ball a little bit. I think, as you mentioned with Bazelak, like he really gives an opportunity to move the ball that Robinson maybe doesn't. And really, and I'll write about this, Blair, and we talked about this off air just before jumping on, but I'm looking at film and just the vertical passing game from Mizzou just is so different with Bazelak. And Drinkwitz mentioned that pretty much with every play he calls, there's kind of a deep pass element or a deep ball element to each play. So that's kind of decision making with a quarterback. And as we saw against Tennessee for Bazelak, like he's not afraid to sling it a little bit. And we'll have a story up at KansasCity.com tomorrow on that, diving a little deeper. But it just seems like the Robinson run game just hasn't been working, whether that's been, you know, stretching it horizontally or the option looks. It just hasn't worked with his legs. And that's kind of a mystery, maybe. You know, Drinkwitz kind of sounded frustrated against Tennessee for it. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing, just to see how Mizzou's able to move the ball, just because, you know, like I wrote after the Alabama game, they were able to do that. Maybe not so much against Tennessee, they were still able to, but it just comes down to coming to the end zone. So if they are able to do that, you know, obviously touchdowns, you need to put up points on the board, touchdowns to win games, but it really does come down to consistency. So if they are able to do that, then maybe with a home factor and having fans and not having to travel, I think, is a big thing. You know, going into Hurricane, I think with all those factors, you know, it might be shaping up just to, for Mizzou maybe to shock some folks. Not even with just a win, but just making it competitive.
That you mentioned, you know, Bazelak's ability. What a nice touch he has on the ball. That fourth and one pass to Christofferson, the tight end, that set up the second touchdown for the Tigers, was really a thing of beauty. And that's something that I don't think we see Sean Robinson make. Now maybe Robinson becomes the change of pace quarterback, right? And we'll see him get a couple of series or start a couple of series in the games. But I just think it's a look, we're looking at a quarterback who has a nice arm with a good touch, and maybe that plays into more of what Eli Drinkwitz wants to do with this offense.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there was that play, and I actually just pulled this one, but there was kind of a botched snap that Bazelak mentioned yesterday when we spoke to him on Tuesday. Essentially, the botched snap came from Miami, the center, and then after Bazelak picked it up, he was able to find Kiki Chisholm on kind of a broken play. And then Bazelak essentially said that apparently the Tennessee defenders were clapping, and that's how they, you know, that's how they do the snap counts with Mizzou and, you know, based out of the shotgun. So it led to just some confusion, and then the fumble essentially, and then Bazelak was able to kind of make a play with it. So he kind of shows some savviness. And yeah, just like you mentioned, Blair, I mean, his arm, I think, is the biggest thing. And we actually saw a little bit of that last year. And I tweeted this. I remember it was just, Bazelak just didn't play that much, you know, up to this point. Even he hasn't played that much, you know, the Tennessee game, he played three quarters. That's the most he's played in college football. But I mean, all this kid does is get first downs and move the ball. And that's, you know, obviously the next step is getting those touchdowns, but he's shown an ability, you know, whether that's garbage time at Georgia or even Arkansas starting the game, like he's shown an ability to get the ball off and make nice plays. And I mean, I really do think he was hampered quite a bit by the drops. I mean, there was the big one to Dominic Jacinto that could have gone for 86 yards because he was wide open against that Tennessee secondary. So, if a few more things went right, and none of which were Bazelak's fault, I think Mizzou would have been a lot more competitive with Tennessee, and his stats would have looked a lot better than it did initially. So it's a lot of cause for optimism, I think, but it really does come down to Bazelak's arm, which has been a strength so far.
I also like the idea of investing in a young quarterback and you know, watching him grow through the program. Missouri fans will remember this was the Drew Locke path. So a lot to be interested in when LSU visits Missouri on Saturday in Columbia, now not in Baton Rouge. So, hey, Suichi, great catching up with you, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, thanks, Blair.
Gary Bedore covers the Kansas Jayhawks for the Star. Gary, how you doing today?
Good, Blair. Thanks. Sure. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, yeah, doing okay. Better than the Jayhawk football team that that dropped. I think it was 47-7 to Oklahoma State on Saturday. Look, Oklahoma State's probably the best team in the conference based on the results of, you know, the Sooners and the Longhorns this year. Oklahoma State's the highest ranked team in the Big 12, and no shame in losing to them. It just was a, you know, just a rough day for KU, especially with their starting quarterback, the freshman Jalen Daniels, getting hurt in that game. What do we know about his status? KU doesn't play this week, so there's additional time to heal. But what do we know about Jalen Daniels' health?
Well, he had a boot on his foot during the third or the fourth quarter. He came back out. He was out from the first quarter, I mean the second quarter, in the locker room all the way till the fourth quarter. But Les Miles said on Monday that he thought he would be back, but he thought he would get the injured guys back. Thomas McVitie was out again with his shoulder. So Jalen Daniels and McVitie, according to Les Miles, should be able to practice after the bye week. But they don't give updates on injuries, so who knows? Because one of these weeks, Les Miles said he expected McVitie back, and he hasn't been back since getting hurt in the first game.
Right, you just never know. Never do until you show up for the game and see who's working out. Right, who's taking the reps. Wasn't a total loss on Saturday. There was a nice moment there when Kansas unveiled the statues of the recently deceased Gale Sayers, along with John Hadle, two great football heroes at KU from the late 50s and 1960s. For Sayer, what a nice moment for Kansas. Got me thinking, Gary, how many great athletes came through KU in that time? Let's just start in like the mid 50s to the mid 60s with Wilt Chamberlain, and you know, JoJo White started his career then, and Jim Ryan was about to start his career, and so many great athletes came through Kansas at that time. So
They've had some of the best players in some of the sports. Riggins in football, Al Order in track. Jim Ryan, like you said, Gale Sayers. They've had basketball, of course, Wilt, and they arguably have some of the greats, you know, in a lot of sports.
Yeah, I can remember looking. I was a card collector when I was a kid, and I can remember getting Bill Bridges and Walt Wesley's basketball cards and looking on the back. And, oh, those guys went to Kansas. How about that? And you know, that was their time too. And Wayne Hightower, guys that went on to NBA careers. So anyway. Again, a nice moment to see the statues of Sayers and Hadle unveiled on Saturday. Hey, KU got some interesting news on the recruiting trail this week. Not great news regarding Keon Coleman, the multi-sport athlete. Tell us what he has decided and what the impact of this is.
Yeah, he's a four-star receiver and defensive back too, I would think. Possibility for college out of Louisiana, who committed a while back to KU over Oklahoma, South Carolina, and others. And yesterday he decommitted, which never surprises me in football because, unlike basketball, they do that. You know, they commit and decommit a ton. But with Keon Coleman, he's also a basketball player, and he was planning on walking on here in basketball, scholarship in football. He's high-scoring guard who now, you know, Bill Self was going to take him as a walk-on, and he has not eliminated KU, but it seems to me when guys decommit, it's kind of rare for them to go back to that original school. But he told me in a message on Twitter that he was still going to consider KU. But again, that, you know, maybe he's just being nice, or maybe he will. People thought, I'm sure in the football fans thought he might stay a Jayhawk commitment because of the basketball thing. You know, you get a chance to play for Self and KU, a blue blood. But again, being skeptical in two sport athletes are kind of rare if they want to. And Keon Coleman wants to be in the NFL, he says. So you wonder how long he would have played basketball. I guess it would have depended on how successful he was right away. But I don't know. Now I don't know if he'll come. I would think the odds are pretty slim because he's reopened his recruitment.
Do you happen to know if Lon Kruger or Frank Martin made the same offer to let him walk on their basketball programs at OU in South Carolina?
Yeah, I think he definitely mentioned OU basketball in some different interviews, and I'm sure South Carolina would take him too. I think you have to be willing to recruit him in both to be on his list.
Gotcha. Okay. So tough news for Kansas when it comes to Keon Coleman. It was such a neat story when he committed. I remember people were pretty excited about the prospect of a two-sport athlete who, especially this one, is highly regarded as Keon Coleman.
Yeah. They really it's a pretty neat story, but maybe Bill Self will have to, you know, recruit him harder, but since he's basically football projected for the NFL, that's kind of a football recruit. So Les Miles would have to get that thing done.
Right, right. Okay, the next time Kansas plays football is the following Saturday, October 17th at West Virginia. Yeah. And then after that, week after that, is at Kansas State. So, all right, Gary, great catching up with you, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Blair.
That'll do it for today and this week on Sports BKC. Thanks to the production staff of Derek Donovan, Randy Mason, Beth Welsh, Jeff Rosen, Chris Bickett, and Savannah Smith. Tip of the cap today to Kellis Robinette, Suichi Tirada, and Gary Bedour for stopping by and talking college sports. Links to their stories can be found in the show notes and on kansascity.com. Hey, we've got another deal for you, especially for those who want to deep dive into the Stars' terrific Chiefs coverage. For a limited time, you can subscribe to Sports Pass for 99 cents a month. That's right, 99 pennies a month. After 3 months, it auto-renews at $5.99 a month unless you cancel. Here's how to get it. Go to kansascity.com/sportspass2020. That's kansascity.com/sportspass2020. You want more than just sports coverage? I do. Check out the entire Kansas City Star product. Sports news, features, commentary, and analysis, the whole thing. You get all the stories written by my talented colleagues, plus additional news, sports, and business coverage with the e-edition. The details for all of these can be found at account.kansascity.com/subscribe. And if you're having trouble hunting down these offers, send me an email at bkirkhoff@kcstar.com, and we'll get you to the right place. Whether it's the Sports Pass or the full subscription, you're getting and supporting the best sports and news coverage in Kansas City and helping us produce programs like Sports BKC. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back on Monday talking Chiefs Raiders.